Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And it's lovely to have you company on this Saturday afternoon. In roughly 1 hour, Peter Sterling will join us as we head towards kickoff. The Dragons taking on the Warriors in the studio as we speak, misbehaving like school children.
Hey, I just want to ask
Brian Fletcher, sorry. Ryan Girdler, and Emma Lawrence. Yes, Ryan.
I just want to ask Brian how many times a year he goes to Bali, because every time I see a picture of you, you're somewhere in Bali.
What?
How many times a year do you go to Bali?
I've been twice in my life.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Were they last year?
We had a good trip. We went to Nusa Lembongan.
Oh, I've been there.
Beautiful.
Great fun.
Yeah. Okay. How was that? Did you go surfing?
Went surfing, yes, but I just missed the Nelson
Sonamala
Blue. So we landed. But
Probably good that you weren't there.
No, I wouldn't have been there.
That segment.
I'm a family man. I don't go to nightclubs.
We are all very excited here as the NRL has restarted. Obviously, some new rules going on. It was fast. It was open. It was terrific to look at. And, of course, given that in a COVID-19 world, there's not a lot of live sports still up and running around the world. So it was seen as a huge opportunity for the NRL to get different eyes from different countries onto our product. And one of those sets of eyes belonged to the San Francisco, the NFL reporter for the San Jose Mercury. I'm, of course, talking about Mr. Cam Inman, and he joins us from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area right now. G'day, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Good afternoon.
Hey, Cam.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good,
Cam. Echo in here.
So have you had a look? I know that when Jared Hayne went to San Francisco, you might have had an early introduction to rugby league, but how has it? Did you have a look the last couple of nights?
Yeah, so I mean, it had been a couple of years. Well, you know, that's not totally true. Last year we were vacationing. My family was vacationing in Europe, and State of Origin was on, and I snuck down to a pub and watched. You know, I think it was Origin 1. It was awesome, and so I still have a great appreciation for the sport. And so when I heard that NRL was starting back up last week, I made sure to set my TV recorder, because it was going to be on, I think, at 2 a.m. here in the States. And then, good enough that our cat woke me up, because our cat was snoring, next to my wife. And I said, well, do I want to wake up and just watch? I'm like, yeah, let's wake up and watch.
So good, Cam. Keep going. I'm going to close my eyes.
Hey, right? I wish. And the beauty of it was I could stream it on my phone. Whereas, you know, 5 years ago, when Hayne was, you know, here with the Niners, and I was picking up on NRL and State of Origin, I would have to actually break into my neighbor's house while they were at work, because he would record the games for me. So anyhow, long story short, I was able to watch a lot of the match on my phone in the middle of the night, and I was stoked. It was really fast, fluid, and just it seemed a sense of normalcy of watching these professional athletes just, you know, going, you know, 110% just out there and just going just full speed, and just the contact and the competition and the lack of drama and worries was just great to see, because we haven't had that in months around the globe. And it was phenomenal. It was great to see. And the fact that there was not a crowd did not bother me one bit, because, you know, not like I was going to fly to Australia and watch this. It was just awesome to see.
Hey, Cam, obviously you have got a little bit of idea about rugby league. What about the novice Americans? Has there been any word on the street that people, like, that's talking about around the water cooler saying, hey, man, I just watched a brutal game of rugby?
No, unfortunately not. And it's probably because there's other, obviously, this the state of the world right now with the pandemic. Everybody has other issues on their mind. And here in America, there's a lot of cities right now are dealing with some protests because of an incident out here. So there's everybody's preoccupied with that. Sports have been on such the back burner for the last 2 months. And all the other leagues are kind of deciding how they're going to ramp back up, whether it's the NBA or baseball. And, you know, we're 2 months out from the NFL season for football starting. So, yeah, unfortunately, nobody really, I haven't talked to other people about the NRL or rugby league, but some people know that I have become I hear that there were some rule changes. I didn't notice. I don't know all the rules. I know a few of them to understand how cool of a game it is. And I appreciate the force and the drama and the passion that the guys play with from all of them. So it was, and the teamwork. I mean, that's the thing. It's like there are stars on the team, but watching all those guys play together, it was really nice to see just a team sport like that. And
Yeah, well, Cam, we hope that there's some sports gets up and running in the United States for you to have a look at. And we do understand there's a lot of drama going on in the States at the moment, certainly around Minneapolis. And our thoughts are with you and yours as well. Thanks so much for having a chat. Really appreciate it, mate.
Oh, thanks so much for having me again. And stay safe, stay healthy, and thanks for having me on.
There is Cam Inman from the San Jose Mercury.
Very interesting fact. I didn't know cats snored.
Didn't you?
No. I've heard dogs snore. Never heard a cat snore.
I think you can actually have that fixed.
Really?
Snoring? Yeah. Snoring, yeah.
So if Chris Brown's out there, could you ring in?
Mm. Dr. Chris Brown, call us. Let's get through the whole cat snoring situation.
I don't know. Yeah, have you heard a cat snore before?
Just throwing it out there. Dogs do.
Yeah, definitely dogs do.
We have plenty Wives in, do, and Andrew Abdo is going to join us very shortly. We're going to get to the Peter Vallandi story. Emma Lawrence almost made him cry on television.
Almost.
That's next. Oh. Saturday Scrum, doing it for King G, where comfort is king. Brian Fletcher is with us. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, I'm Tony Squires. Peter Vallandi's, he's done the job. It's been quite remarkable, the fact that Rugby League is back up and running. May 28, they set the date, the Apollo Project. Takeoff was near perfect. The strength of belief, of self-belief he has, is quite extraordinary. Nothing seems, he's a bit like Bob the Builder, he can do it, and he does. No matter what is put in front of him, he just rolls over the top. I just want to play a couple of grabs. First of all, just have a listen to, because he's talking about doing more. He's talking about getting crowds back in earlier, because he talked about getting a game back earlier than most people thought was feasible.
Yeah.
Cop criticism from around the country, and he still made it happen. But just have a listen to what he had to say.
Look, these medical experts didn't even look at what our proposal was. We back up all our case with the data. You know, we're going to wait the next 2 weeks to see what the infection rate does. At the moment, it's less than 0.5%, and it's been like that for nearly 40 days. When we stopped playing rugby league, it was 25.5%. There's no reason why we shouldn't have crowds. We've got to get back to some form of normality.
There is Dr. Vallandi's for you. Now, it's interesting. He's got that. So far, everything he's said and done, it's just come about. Now he's talking about crowds. Now, again, a lot of people are going to say, no, you know, back up, wait a minute. What are your thoughts about the idea? I know how big you are on the virtual crowd, Gerds.
Yeah.
The idea of getting people back into the stadiums as early as he is saying in July.
I think it's definitely doable. The politicians reacted this week. Gladys said, look, we're happy to consider it, but, you know, that's not high on our priority list right now. But back when Peter Vallandi said May 28th, that was her reaction then as well. And he is literally, every hurdle that he's had to overcome, he's done it. He took on the federal government, state government with border restrictions, the refs, rule changes, the anti-vaxxers. He's done everything. And it's not going back to straightaway crowds of 10,000, 20,000. It might only be, you know, potentially a couple of hundred to start with, even just particularly sponsors. They're interested in having. So, for example, if you can have get the corporates back. If you have 50 people in a restaurant, why can't you have 50 corporates in a suite? You know, anyone with sponsors paying money, just get some back to start with. And they'd have to follow the biosecurity measures too. So they'd get their temperature done when they come in and all of that sort of stuff. So he's not saying 20,000 straight away. Yeah. I think it's doable. I wouldn't bet against Vallandi's.
No. The members, I think he's mentioned them as well, as people who, you know, they pay their money, they're the, you know, rusted on supporters. They get an opportunity probably as much as the corporate. I guess the question will be, and he said he's obviously done the homework in previously, is that it's not just having them, you know, several seats apart. It's getting people in, you know, where they're crowded out the front. There's a whole lot of biosecurity things that have to be, he has to get exactly right. I mean, the reason we do have this flattening of the trend is because we have had the social distancing. It's all worked out well. So it still needs to be a lot of care taken into account.
So, M, is it – so the pubs are 4 square metres per person. That's the apparently
the space needed.
So they're saying that they'd be sitting down if they were – so you could only sit – obviously your family could sit.
Yeah, you could sit near your family.
Yeah, so it's going to be staggered around the stadium.
You'd be further apart, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in some of those smaller grounds, that's, you know, at least it – so obviously somewhere like ANZ, it's still going to feel empty. But even at one of the smaller grounds, having it would still feel better than having none. Even if you had, 2,000, say, 2,000 all spread out.
Yeah, but how do you do – I mean, how do you – what, do you run a ballot? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, members. You get the members.
Yeah, but I mean, some clubs have got, you know, how many thousand members do the Brisbane Broncos and that have? How are you going to, you know, allocate 1,000 people an opportunity to go to the game?
Well, it's probably through a ballot. Good question. We could probably ask Andrew Abdo in a little while.
Auction.
May well be an auction. You had the opportunity to have a chat with him on telly this week?
I did. I did more of a personal story on Peter Volandis, his childhood, how, you know, rugby league helped him. He was bullied when he was a kid and he was a migrant, so that helped him get in with the Aussie kids. I spoke about his father who passed away, and that's his driving force today. So, yeah, it was really good. Peter Volandis opened up. So,
let's have a little bit of a listen to part of that interview.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep, you're going to get me emotional and I'm going to do my best not to. But look, the sacrifices that he made was substantial, you know.
That's him talking about his...
his dad. So... he was speaking about the influence. I said, where does your work ethic and determination come from? And he said his parents and his dad basically worked in the steelworks from 6 a.m. till basically midnight. So
from
they didn't
Wollongong.
See him. Yeah. Yep. Didn't see him a lot. And then I just said, oh, do you mind if I ask if he's still around? So he died of cancer, his father, at the age of 64. And then, yeah, he got a little bit emotional speaking about his dad. And he speaks to his mum every night at 6 p.m. Mm. And she's like a typical mum and says, you look tired, you look stressed, are you eating well? All those sorts of things. So it was really nice to see a different side to Peter Volandis, because we see him in this corporate sense and, you know, very strong and determined, but he's just human like the rest of us.
Yeah, with a ridiculous work ethic.
Yeah, has he taken a back seat because he's obviously the boss of New South Wales Racing as well. Yeah. So he's still doing both.
He's still doing that. I think he took 1 week's leave just around the time when the broadcast deal started heating up. But this whole time he's been doing both jobs. So he will get up. He'll start working at about 4:30 a.m.
Wow.
Doing the NRL work. So he'll get some of that done. He'll go into racing, start from there, and then, you know, we'll have various meetings and Zoom calls. So he probably gets only about 2 or 3 hours sleep a night, he said.
Wow. So I do about 2 or 3 hours work a week.
Yeah.
that's where we're similar. Kevvy Walters joins us next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
We do it, of course, thanks to King G, where comfort is king. Jim, they've been king of industry since 1926. Speaking of king, we have, the king, prince, we have them all here. I'm not sure, we were slotted down to have Kevvy Walters as our guest. I'm not sure he's completely alone. Kevvy, how are you?
Yeah, great, thanks. How are you, gents?
Yeah, very well. Just tell us, paint the picture, where are you?
We're about to come up to the crossing of the border, so... Gordy's got our permits ready to go, and we're going to fly through here. I can feel it.
Oh, the border going back into Queensland. How goes the revolution? Keeping the blue coats out, are you, up there in Queensland? What's that? So who's driving, you or Gordon Tullis?
No, I'm driving, yeah. I'm driving. Gordy's the co-pilot. Gordy knocked over about 6 hours this morning, so he's in the navigator's chair at the moment, so...
And how was Gordy behind the wheel of the big Winnebago? Did he handle it okay? It's quite cumbersome.
He's fantastic, yeah. Superb driver. He's a car person, Gordy, and, you know, he loves it.
Well, we called the game last night here, Kevin. He left. I bumped into him down at the Bottle-O. He had half a dozen. How long did it take him to get through those on the trip?
Oh, they were gone by the time he got over to Fox. Yeah. Did he buy some beer before he went across the bridge?
Yeah.
He never told us that.
Oh, he didn't share those around.
No. Oh, okay. And then,
well, he only bought a case.
Yeah. And then we drove up to Newcastle last night and stayed there. Well, I drove up and Gordy was the passenger. And then this morning we got away pretty early. So, yeah, I'm trying to get home to watch the footy again, boys.
Well, Kevin, it's Fletch here. I was actually at lunch with you yesterday, and you were there for 2.5 hours, uh-huh. and he got one stuffed zucchini flower. So when you left, because Kevin had to work, did you see the photo that we sent?
Yeah, I did. I saw the big pork.
Yeah.
And Gordy's telling me about the duck chips this morning.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
The chips. Chips in duck fat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thrice but, cooked, not twice.
Yeah, there was some. That was a good lunch. I had some lettuce leaves, and as you said, that. What was it that I ate?
It was zucchini flower.
Stuffed.
And then the gentleman next to you said, get this chili oil in there. Remember? Oh. Kevin's lips just started to bleed.
Kevin, and the other lips are
bleeding
this morning.
Yeah, go on. I bet.
Bang. I love it. Did you have you liked what you've seen so far with the one referee, the new rules in place?
Yeah? Yeah, I think everybody is loving what they're seeing with the one referee, with the six to go. It's just been some great footy. A lot of fatigue creeping into a lot of teams. And then the skill factor, you know, comes into it as well. So, you know, our game has always had room for the big man and also the small man and the speedier man. So it's opened up the avenues again, which I think is great, yeah.
And the Roosters, they're back. Were you impressed with what you saw last night, Kevy?
Yeah, very impressed. Obviously, the reigning premiers had a lot on the line last night, and they played accordingly. Particularly their defence was very impressive. Even under the conditions that they were in, they looked to be, you know, back somewhat. So, yeah, it was an impressive game from them.
Hey, just on that, I had a bet with Brian Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Fletch, do you remember him?
No, don't know what you're talking about. I do, yes. You gave me 10.5 stars.
I backed the Roosters.
Yeah, with 10.5 stars.
And you backed South.
Yeah. What?
And it was only for $50.
Yeah,
what were we supposed to do with it today?
You're going to give me a tip, your horse that you want.
No. You said whoever wins, they got to put it on a horse. So you got to do is say the horse that you're going to put the $50 on today, so everybody knows and it's on record, and then I get the winning.
Yeah, of course. So you want me to pick it?
Yeah, you've got to pick it. I was there when the bet was placed.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'll pick it. All right, I'm going to go Kembla Race 4, number 2.
Yeah, see, that's you.
I'm serious. You. I'm on. I just got a tip
He's
for
actually
it.
Had the form guide here, Gordy, for the last 15 minutes, and he's been going through it with a fine-tooth comb.
He might have jumped.
He's dead
Gordy,
serious.
I will do it, and by the end of this show, you, my friend, it's jumped. Well, we saved our money.
I just had a tip, Sydney Race. Race 4, number 11 or whatever, Soldier or something, and it won too. So I'm pretty happy. Sydney having a bet, and Kevy's a fantastic driver.
Good on you.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Tony Brassel.
Like an old man, so that's good. Nice and safe.
Does Kevy like a punt as well?
No, not really. I roomed with Alan Langer for about 10 years at the Broncos, and instead of Triple M being on our radio and we got in the rooms, we had the races on. So I got a bit sick of that, yeah.
Gordy, just quickly, the Titans, were you a bit disappointed?
Yes and no. So you're disappointed with the scoreline, but I think I caught it with Gerds and, you know, how hard they tried in the new rules. I thought they were more competitive, but I think they tackled for the first 10 or 15 minutes and then that gas come back to hit them towards the end. And, you know, I was more impressed with the Cowboys towards the end of the game and the young halves and the way Valentine Holmes played. Then I was disappointed in the Titans. You know, even though it's going to be a long year and they got a lot to work on the Titans, I was really impressed with the Cowboys. I thought they improved since when they played against the Broncos and everybody wrote them off.
What do you think the Titans do now, Gordy? After that three, they're 0-3 now, and Fletcher's suggested that maybe you go down on a serious note and spend a little bit of time down there and help them out and motivate the forwards. Yeah. Would that be something you might be interested in doing?
I spoke to Fletch the other day, and like, you know, I didn't need anybody to motivate me, Gerds, and I suppose you didn't, and Fletch and all the guys that get to the top. So part of my plan is you got to motivate yourself. But if the coach ever rang me, I never want to step on anybody's toes, but if the coach ever rang me and said, hey, mate, can you come down and watch us train and give a couple of blokes a tip, of course I would. Mm. And that's any team, but, you know, simply because I love rugby league. But I don't think, because I don't want to be a coach. I don't want to, you know, hang around and, you know, be that old fat bloke that says back in my day, because I can do that on the couch with Fletch on Thursday night and Sundays on Triple M.
Hey, Kevy, does Gordy try to tell you what to do with your Origin sides?
No, we've had some good chats on the road trip about the Origin team and this year's series. I often talk to Gordy anyway about, because he's a good judge of a player and character, you know, which is very important around Origin. So, yeah, we've bounced some ideas around. We like what we're seeing so far from the Queenslanders over the weekend and some big games tonight as well, which a lot of our players will be heavily influenced in. So, particularly the Melbourne-Canberra game, that's a big one from a Queensland point of view. Big Josh Papali and co, and young Corey Horsburgh.
Yeah. You got your eyes on Corey, have you, this year, Kevy?
Oh, certainly, mate. Yeah, I believe what he did last year was really good for a young guy. And every team's got to have a redhead in their side, haven't they? Yeah. Every team.
And is Cameron coming back, Kev? Or no, we're not sure.
Well, the door's always open. Cameron and GI, for that matter.
Yeah, what about GI?
Yeah.
Here
they go. Yeah, here we go. Billy Slater was not talking about a comeback as well, somehow, if anyone wants him.
Yeah, don't worry, we got Gal. You're in trouble. You've got Gal, mate. Better watch out. Hey, just before you go, Gordon, your bet is on. I've named it after you. It's Morfettville Race 7, number 7, Domination.
Hey, you know, that's going to win. That's an omen. That's going to win. Yeah,
exactly. And we got it at $12.50. Sorry, we got it at $3.50. And
Hey, Kevy, just before you go, I understand you're making your Triple M, your commentary debut next Sunday night, the Manly Dogs game.
No, I think is that tonight? Tomorrow night, is it?
Tomorrow night.
In with Gordy and Dobbo, yeah, so looking forward to that. It should be, I'm looking forward to seeing Manly, how they handle it, you know, the new rules, and also, you know, the Dogs need a win, don't they? They'll be very desperate. So you're looking forward. I love working at Triple M. It's great stuff. Go to the M.
Kevy Walters, Gordon Zales, thank you so much. Drive carefully.
Oh, hang on here.
I love it. If only we had a camera in that combi van or wherever they happen to be driving. The Saturday Scrum on Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Fletch, Emma, Gerds, Tony, and it is time for this.
Believe it or not.
Yes. We only do this because of the jingle. It is so good. The notion, Fletch, is here. I just run a couple of statements by you, and you tell me whether you believe it or not. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll start. I know we spoke with Reedy earlier, and it's not the world's happiest story. In fact, it's a really tough one. But if he does serve his 4 years, if Bronson Sherry is found to have taken those drugs, he will come back and make a mark in the NRL when he returns. Believe it or not, Emma?
I believe that he'll be back, whether or not he's... I mean, he's only 19, and we've seen Shandor Earl come back, so I think he definitely would be able to get another contract, whether or not he's at the same level. And, I mean, he has a lot of potential. Everyone was saying maybe he was even a bolter for the Origin side this year, but... I mean, 4 years out, it's tough, but I don't think that means it's the end of Bronson Sherry in the NRL.
Fletch? I believe he can, yeah. Purely for his age.
Yep.
19, be back at 23. I suppose the Cronulla club will give him the support that he needs. He'll be, obviously, well, it's up to him too, whether he wants to come back and play. So who knows what happens in that 4 years. But if he wants to come back, I think the power and the skill that he's got and comes back at 23 years of age, I think that, yes, he can do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have the full story, Tony, but no. There was things that this guy could do on the field that you get from, you know, your natural ability or the things that you've been able to, you know, develop as you're growing up and the systems that you've been involved in. And you, regardless of, you know, what you're taking to physically get stronger, you know, you're always going to have those attributes. So I believe if he has done this and made this terrible error and he goes away and you know, works on different parts of, you know, his game and stays in touch with hopefully someone there sort of does the right thing and looks after him and takes care of him. And I hope he's mentally okay because it's, you know, he's done the wrong thing. We all know that, but still a human being and we've got to hope that he's been looked after. I believe he can come back, yeah.
All right, that's three believes. The Peter Volandi's honeymoon will at some point end. I know he's, the moment of King Midas, everything he touches turns to gold. At some point, the honeymoon will end. Em?
No, it will not. Because it's not like it's all been smooth sailing. There have been lots that have been getting angry at him through this period. The coaches didn't want these rule changes, so it's not like he's had support straight away for all of these decisions. Mm-hmm. I just think everyone slowly starts to realise, well, no, maybe he was right about that. And I think also one thing about Volandis, he does listen to various stakeholders. So I know he will try his best to try and see things from the player's perspective or the fan as well. And he, not everyone is always going to agree with his decisions, but I don't think, no, the honeymoon period, it won't end as such.
Good. He's just a good operator, Tone, and I just don't see why. It's not luck. I don't think, you know, at the moment he's just going through like a purple patch. I just think it's the way he goes about his business, and he'll continue to make decisions, I think, based on just what Em said there, you know, getting advice from people that know better than he does. And he certainly hasn't got an ego. And in business, I think that's really important that you can, you know, you can heed those advice from people that know more about situations than you do. And he seems to do that really well. And he's a humble guy. And I just think he'll keep going about his business and hopefully getting things right for the game.
Actually, Gerds, you know, just an example of getting the speaking to those who know best. So we had a lunch. The commission took some of the female journos out for lunch earlier in the year. And so we had some, the likes of Alana Ferguson and some former players. And we're talking about the rules for the females. And Volandi said, no, it should be all the same rules and should be this and this. And I don't want them to think that they have to be different to the guys. And Alana said, well, no, actually, because we are different, you know, physiologically we're different. So, for example, I think the ball should be a bit smaller. And he said, oh, well, I never thought of it. And the way she explained it, and he said, I'm really glad I spoke to you about this because I wanted to make you guys feel equal. And she said, well, no, actually, if anything. And he was very open to that and said, let's continue these discussions further. So that's just one example, but was very open to, you know, hearing ideas from other stakeholders.
Hey, no, definitely. I don't know whether he'll be chairman for a whole lot longer. I think he'll get through this. The game gets back to some sort of normality. I think he might go back just concentrating on racing New South Wales. Do the job and go. I think he's left it. Or what he's done, I'm sure he'll leave the game looking pretty good. So he'll go back to New South Wales race and get more than 2 hours a night's sleep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break because on the other side, Andrew Abdo is set and ready to go. We'll have a chat with him on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And it's lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Fletch, Emma, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. And it's a great pleasure now that we welcome to the show the CEO of the NRL, Andrew Abdo. G'day, welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everyone.
Very nice to have you here. You must be happy sitting here on a Saturday afternoon after what you have seen play out before you over the past couple of days with the footy back.
Yes, I've been like a kid the last couple of days, a mixture of butterflies from nerves, anxiety and excitement. And, you know, so far so good. Been some great footy and it's pretty fast all things look good for the rest of the weekend.
And you, of course, have been in your career, you've been a numbers man in the past. The numbers in terms of eyeballs have been good so far?
They've been great. We're up about 30% across both Nine and Fox. So the ratings and the views have piled in, which is fantastic. And of course, there's this opportunity where we can acquire some new fans too that don't, you know, typically watch rugby league, not just here in Australia, but globally as well. So that's really what's been driving us, the fans. We were really pleased with the fact of how many people are engaged with the games so far.
And Andrew, you've obviously been able to nail that that broadcast deal with Fox. How are we going with Channel 9 at the moment?
Yeah, we were really pleased to be able to reconfirm our partnership with 9 and Fox for the remaining term. So we're all systems go until 2022 with both partners. It's great that Fox have extended with us, and I will continue to talk to Channel 9 about what the future looks like.
Andrew, Brian Fletcher here.
Hey,
I don't want to bring a downer on this, but we're just talking about Bronson Cherry earlier. Yeah. Have you had any communication with ASADA on why it took 6 months before? I gather you were notified when the public was notified?
Yeah, we notified the public on the day that we found out. So Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, right? It's obviously disappointing for Bronson. The process still needs to be finalised, and he's obviously having his has his rights under the getting his B test, so, his B sample tested. ISADA is an independent organisation. We've written to them and asked to understand the process and the time it's taken. They've responded, and we're satisfied with the response that we received. But obviously, this is a difficult time for Bronson, and we'll wait for the matter to be finalised.
When you say they responded, were there, in terms of the issues for the delay, given that the testing was in November and it's taken such a long time, was it to do, I guess there's a lot been going on in the world and in this country, was there anything specific that they said that caused that delay?
No, it was just really an understanding of the processes that were taking place. But obviously, it's a really sensitive matter, and it's not something we can talk about.
Hey, Andrew, it's Emma Lawrence. It's been a very busy, I guess, first a couple of months for you in the job. And we were there at your, I was there certainly, your very first press conference when some of the players were in trouble. What's been the most challenging part of the role so far?
It's a real privilege to work in sport, and it's an absolute privilege to work in rugby league. I mean, this is unprecedented, right? You couldn't have scripted the situation that we find ourselves in. And I think the biggest challenge is just being prioritizing a number of things that we needed to do to get back on the field. And what do you need in times of a crisis? You need strong leadership, and you need to think entrepreneurially. And I have to give credit to our chairman and the commission. Peter set the ambitious target of getting back on the field on May 28. And under that uniting goal, you just had a whole bunch of people come together to make it happen. The clubs, the players, our partners, you know, the broadcast partners, sponsors. And here we are, you know, we've got the footy back, and we're delighted with the fact that we've got live and scripted sport to look forward to in a couple of hours. Cracking games.
Andrew, your position now is interim CEO, or your title. Does that mean that the end of this year you'll have to put an application in to become CEO, or is the job yours to lose?
That's probably a question for the commission, I guess. There hasn't been a chance to even think about that. It's not occupying any of our time at the moment. Really, we've got so much to do, and the focus is making sure that not only we get the footy back, but that we keep it back, and then importantly, how we emerge from this and how we adapt. It's going to be a new world, and we've got lots of work to do to get ready for not just the rest of the season, but next year and beyond. So I don't know what the process will be. That's in the hands of the commission. But whilst I'm in the interim role, I'll be doing all I can to make sure that the game stays healthy and strong.
And we know you're a Manly fan. You revealed that.
You're going so well, Andrew. What happened? You're doing such a good job.
I was waiting for this.
How are they going to go tomorrow night and for the rest of the season?
I have to be impartial. I mean, look, I think that Manly are a really gritty team. They've got the Bulldogs, which are another gritty team. That's going to be an interesting game because both teams are obviously really hungry to win, and they sort of, had really good form actually towards the end of last year. So I don't know, but I'll obviously be rooting for Manly, but equally, I just, to be honest, just want the game to happen, and I wanted to make sure that, there's no controversies.
Andrew, we saw the broadcast schedule was released last week. There's a few clubs there that feel a little hardly done by. When you guys go in to negotiate with those big broadcast organisations, do you put forward like a schedule that you would like to see, or do you just allow them, based on who they think are going to rate well, make the call, and you guys are just happy with they're making the decisions around which clubs are probably given more opportunities to sell sponsorship and marketing and those sort of things?
Wow, the draw. Okay, how long have we got? Have we got a couple of hours?
Yeah, we got a little while.
I mean, that's the beauty of working in sport. Everyone's so passionate. I mean, the draw is actually quite a technical, a contractual process, and it's changed over time. And it's a mixture of things. Like, the process unfolds in a way in which we try and balance competing priorities. So, obviously, having big blockbusters is great. But also having teams playing on weekends when it's easier to attend live is great as well. Then we have to think about five-day turnarounds and making sure that there's a balance, home and away stretches. So there's all these like things that go into a melting pot. But actually what happens technically is a contracted process which allows the NRL, Nine and Fox to try and get balance across those competing priorities. This year is a bit different because, you know, you've got 20-round comp and you've got 18 uninterrupted rounds. We haven't had that for a long time, no buys and continuous football with Origin at the end. I don't think there's always going to be like sort of swings and roundabouts in, you know, what is the perfect draw. And I always laugh when people say, oh, they've got a hard run because it's so unpredictable and teams hit form at different times. But the point being, after 20 rounds, whoever deserves to be in the eight actually deserves to be there because this is one of the toughest, most uncompromising competitions in the world.
All right, and just before we let you go, is it realistic that punters will be going into games, live crowds in July?
Well, it's good to have an ambitious target, and we'll do all we can to get fans closer to the action. At the moment, there's an opportunity for fans to show their support through our Fans in the Stand initiative, and we are going to continue to work with state governments around how we can be very deliberate around protecting the players, protecting the community, but slowly phase back in fans attending games. And even if it's in small numbers to start adhering to all the public health orders and then think about how we can increase that over time. I mean, that's what we're aiming for, but obviously we're very respectful of what's happening around us and we have to be very careful as well.
All right, Andrew, thank you so much. Well done, apart from the whole Manly thing. But let's not go there.
Come on, Tony.
Lovely to talk to you. All the best. We'll catch up again soon, I'm sure.
Great chatting to you guys. Have a good afternoon.
There he is, from the CEO of the NRL, Andrew Abdo, joining us right now. Give us a call, 133353. We have some subscriptions, 6-month subscriptions to KO to give away. Footy's back. KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. You want that subscription? You've got to answer a very, very simple question. Give us a call, 133353. This is Triple M. This is the Saturday Scrum. All right, got a job to do. Callers online, ready to go. The chance to win the 6-month subscription to KO. It's all covered via footy there. Your live sports streaming. Footy's back. KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. Answer the question correctly, you get your 6-month subscription. We'll run through this. If you get it wrong, I'll just move on to the next person. Mark is first cab off the rank. G'day from Ingleburn. G'day, Mark.
How you going, mate?
Good. All right. You ready for your question? 6 months of subscription is up for grabs. Which 6 teams have already played in this round?
Eels, Broncos, Rabbitohs and Roosters.
That's 4.
And Cowboys and Titans.
Yeah. Correct. You have a 6-month subscription to KO. Well done. Oh, thank you. Man. Hold the line, Mark. Okay, Matt from Pennant Hills. G'day, Matt.
G'day, mate.
I'll go slightly tougher. We'll go tougher question. Which hooker will make their debut for the Tigers this weekend?
I have absolutely no idea.
No idea. That's a tough one, sorry, Tony. Matt, it is a tough one. Well, that's everybody's going to get the same question. We might have to go back and ask an easy one. Brianna from beautiful Coogee. G'day, Brianna.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well. From Coogee, you're probably a Rooster supporter, are you?
I am.
Yeah, okay. How much do you know about the Tigers?
A little bit.
Okay, which hooker will make his debut for the Tigers this weekend?
Is it... Oh, what's his name? My boyfriend's actually a Tigers fan, so I really should know this.
Right, yeah. She says delaying till she Googles.
Yeah. I'm not Googling. I'm in the car.
Okay. Any idea?
I think he's...
He's a man with 2 first names. There you go. There's a hint for you. Sorry, Brianna. What about you, Simon from Sylvania? You're there, Simon?
Yeah, hey. How you doing?
Good. Which hooker is going to make his debut?
Harry Grant.
Harry Grant is correct. You have a 6-month subscription to KO. Well played.
Great,
and
thank you.
I have one more to go, and let's go with Craig from Miranda. G'day, Craig.
G'day, mate.
What month will Origin be played in this year?
November.
November is correct, and you will be watching it on KO or at Fox Sports if you've already got it. Congratulations, mate. Well done. Sadly, that's all we have to give away right now. If that's footy's back, KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. Gertz is going to have a 20-minute sit-down, but the great man Peter Sterling will join us next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.